Before we begin, I have a new signal. Fascinating shot I had the other day. It was almost a combination of a couple of factors and things that we've talked about for the last several months. Not that long ago, we were talking about the din of Dam Tohar. We said that Minat Torah, if a woman has a boy, so then after the first 7 days, she goes to make them 33 days, she gets a window of Bedurnate, that even any dam that she sees, even she's lavish flowing, gushing blood, she's still completely mutaris Minat Torah. Same is true, she gives birth to a girl for 14 days, she's a sewer, goes to Mikvah, 66 days, she has the window of opportunity. Even though that's the din of the Torah, nice that we don't practice, as we just said the other week, the Machlokes, we showed them why we don't practice that anymore. So the Ramban says that we don't practice that because that was included in the Gezerah of the Benos Yisrael. If we're Latzvon, Filu Rose, Tibetan Pechad, the Yerushal Shivnakim, that's what the Ramban understood. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, no, it was not included in the Chumrah of Rabbi Zeira. It was something that was Nischadish after the days of the Gemara, it was Nischadish in the days of the Gaonim. And so the Rambam proves that he's right. There are Jewish communities that didn't even have it. In the days of Rambam, he writes that he heard Shemanu Shemit Sorfas Bolam Adam Tor. And in the French communities, they were still knowing like this Din D'Oraisa. And then in later generations, even the French Jews gave it on this one. So it's the universal minig b'zman hazeh, not to be bol adam tohar. But again, according to most, probably it's like the Rambam, probably it's not a real din with the Rabbanan. It's sure not a din d'Oraisa. It's probably not even a din with the Rabbanan. It's probably only the Torah's chumrah, the Torah's and minhag.
Why make a difference?
Sometimes, so within the 33 days after the baby, or the 66 days after the baby, so even if she sees blood, it's okay. The Torah says it's all right. So the question is, but once we've accepted this custom, so then what's the difference? It's also us, my nephew community. So we said that sometimes a rabbi will look at a shaila, a little bit more make, a little bit more lenient, we're looking at Dam Torah. We're not dealing with the real din, the Torah, not even din with the Rabban anyway. It's only a minute, so that we can be a little bit more make on certain doubts that come up. So I had a fascinating shot just the other day, somebody called me, that the wife had a baby not that long ago, and she had already gone to the mikvah. And she had gone to the doctor for some kind of a procedure, and the doctor put in an instrument, and on the instrument there was blood. There was blood on the instrument. And the question is, what was causing the bleeding exactly? So the instrument was the procedure that she had just had involved something inside the uterus as well. So the procedure that had been done had caused some kind of irritation in the uterus, not irritation in the cervix. If it would have caused either vaginal bleeding or cervical bleeding, then would have to go, we would have been concerned. But the procedure caused, in a sense, a makwa in the mokor, a wound inside the uterus. So the question is, what do you do with that? So even though the Gemara tells us that a makwa shiva mokor is permissible, and a big machlek is supposed to be what exactly that means. So according to at least one version of the Chazon Ish was, and that's not so simple, a makwa shiva mokor may not mean exactly what it sounds like. And if the source of the bleeding is really endometrial, even if it was caused by a wound, that may still be a problem. So that's a big shy. We spoke about this back in the Maka days. And others are making, Shlomo Zalman was making, let's say a woman gets an endometrial biopsy. So according to Shlomo Zalman, that's okay. She's not considered to be a need, even though she's flowing a lot of blood from the endometrial lining. But since it's been caused by a scraping, by a cutting rather than by a flowing, so then she's perfectly permissible when a Torah did the Rabbanan. And others weren't so sure that was true. So usually many rabbis are very weary to be makel. Some makel outright, like Shlomo Zalman, and many others are weary. So the tradition that I have is to be a little more weary, but not just makel outright on the endometrial biopsy types of shaila. So this woman called me with this simple, it wasn't endometrial biopsy, it was a simple kind of a shaila. So first I had to call a doctor just to make sure I had the facts right, to make sure that in fact the bleeding was coming from the uterus and was coming from scraping or hitting, whatever it was, a makah that was caused in the uterus. And now the question becomes, well, should we follow Shlomo Zalman or not? So normally we would be a little bit hesitant to follow Shlomo Zalman. So I asked the woman a couple of questions. I asked her, how long ago did you have the baby? So she told me it was 7 weeks. I asked, was it a boy or was it a girl? It was a girl. Then I asked the third question, was it cesarean or natural? So Baruch Hashem got, yes, I got the right answer on all three. So it was about 56 days or so for a girl after natural delivery, and she had gone to the mikvah already once. So lo and behold, it was Mamish Dam Tohar. So I said, I tried to explain to the husband, I said, if you would have asked me the shaila in the middle of nowhere, not in the context of a birth, it probably would have been nachma. Since this is only a Dam Tohar shaila, so at worst it is, I'm not minig anyway, so for the minig, it shouldn't be construed as a lack of kavod of shomazam. But basically, what I'm saying is that the mokov of the minig of dam torah kedayr shomazam is mechalav. Even those who disagree with shomazam, the real midam nidus would be able to be mechalav over here. So every once in a while, the rabbi has to pull out of his hat this kula of dam torah. And not that we're matter dam torah, but we'll be more mechalav shayla to come up if they're only dam torah oriented.
What was the issue with Rav
Shlomo Zalman? Held that if a woman has a wound in the uterus, even though we know it's uterine blood, we know it's endometrial blood, but lemaisa, it was brought out through a scraping rather than through an actual flowing itself, so he was making this, and that's not what I mean, and not everyone agreed to that. So some Rabbanan are making like that outright, so there's a machim like that, but over here we were willing to be more making because it was not a prominent already. Okay, now we begin a brand new sugya. It's on page 28. We've almost turned the corner in terms of Hilchos Nida, in the sense that up until now we've been discussing how we became a Nida, that Isis and their abundance and Yaledes and Machtas and all the above. Now that we finally established that she is a Nida, how does she get out of this status? How does she begin the process of becoming Tahora? So of course, the process of becoming Tahora has many, many steps to it. The very last step is the Tefillah of a Mikvah, but there are a lot of things that have done beforehand before she can even get to the point of tefillah b'mikvah. So since we already learned that b'zman hazeh, any time a woman becomes a surah, she's required to count shiv and kiyum. Sometimes that's a din in the Torah, sometimes it's a din in the Rabbanan, but whatever it is, halach l'mayis, a woman can never go to the mikvah until she's counted 7 clean days. So we have to get to that point of enabling her to count the 7 clean days. So that's what the next sukkah is going to begin. What has to happen beforehand in order to make sure that she's going to have the ability to begin to start the count of Shivanikiyam. So the sukkah of Shivanikiyam really begins, at least this part of the sukkah, doesn't begin so much concerning a woman, it actually begins concerning a man. But there are really two different halachas of Shivanikiyam in the Torah. There's a din of Shivanikiyam for a woman, who's a zava, our woman today has zavos. But there's another din of Shivanikiyam concerning a man, if a man becomes a zav. So a man in becoming a Zav is similar in some aspects to a woman, not identical. What a man becoming a Zav means is that he experiences some kind of an emission from that area, from that organ, but it's not regular tumas keri. It's not shechva zera. It's biologically different than shechva zera. It's some kind of emission that's associated with something somewhat out of the ordinary. And the Torah says, depending on how many times he experiences these emissions, he will become tamei to different degrees. If he only has what's called a ziva one time, then one time, okay, one time is one time. One time makes him into a balkari, to a shechva zera, and he's only tummy for one day, like any other shechva zera. If he has these emissions two times, either into subsequent days or two times on the same day, so then he becomes what we call a zav bal shtei reios becomes tummy, and he has to have a shivinikiyim. He's got a whole petal of different halachas of tumah that now apply to him, but he's not an absolute complete zav in the extent of it was karbanos. If he sees ziva a third time, then he has to offer the karbanos that I mentioned at the end of Pashas Mitzorah. So for a man, sometimes the halach, depending on how many times he saw, he's going to be required to count shemekiyah before he's able to become tohar.
So when you said subsequent days, one day after another, or
it's either on the same day, mamish, or one day and then the following day. If there's a day in between that's clean, that's nothing. So when we're speaking about a zav, once he already established the status of being a zav, then the Torah says, "V'sofalo shivus yomotaroso." He has to count shivinikiyim, so he has to make sure the course of 7 days that he's clean. Not all that different than a woman who has to count 7 days that she's clean as well. So again, this is not relevant for us with manazeh. We don't have tumah v'tara except for hilchos nida. So nobody really cares with manazeh whether the man is a zav. But in the plug, a person would be man hamikdash. If a person would become a zav, he would be required to count the shivinikiyim. So now comes the Gemara on page 28. It says CD 18. So let the shifazera. This is where our sugi begins. Again, it takes us a while till we get to the woman part. We have to learn the sugi of the man part first. So the Gemara says in the second
sugi. Well, why would we be concerned if this first two balkaris just need tefillah?
Well, it's not balkaris. It's a different type of an emission.
No, but if the first two.
No, the first two. No, the first one needs.
The first one doesn't need anything.
The first one just needs tefillah as a one day thing.
Right.
Like any other. Well, the Torah says that once you have two in a row, so then you become tamei to mazizah.
So why wouldn't if the man had those re'iros, why wouldn't he just go to the mikvah? Even though, I mean, If there's no carbon, so why wouldn't he be required today to go to the mikvah?
Well, what's the difference? You tell me anyway. You tell me too much snakes.
It's a different type of tool.
So you tell me that also. So what? So a person is about carrying doesn't run to the mikvah either. Unless you're a Chassidish and fell, you don't go to the mikvah all the time. So we're all tummy. I touch a dead body, I'm tummy. I go to a cemetery, I'm tummy. I touch a dead mouse, I'm tummy. I touch the veil, I'm tummy. So tummy. So, okay, at the end of the day, going to the mikvah won't even help because we're still all tummy to the snakes anyway until we have Eifa Paraduma. So you don't gain all that much by going to the mikvah. So the Gemara says in Maseches Dita Chodeis Amud Aleph, in the first Memakomos, you have to see the 18. Tanya, we lived in a Braisa. Zos Taras Azov, Vashet Tetzem Yimena Shechvazera. The Torah says at the end of Pashat Tzara, these are the halachas that the Gemara just gave us, these are the Dinim of Zov, and these are the Dinim of Shechvazera, they're not at all the same. The Torah lumps them together, puts it all together in one pasuk. So the Torah Shavate explains, thus we have the following comparison. We have a Hekesh. Ma Ziva Seseres, that we should say, just as, let's say, a man is in the middle of counting Shivanakiyim, so if he has a little bit of Ziva, all of a sudden on day five of the Shivanakiyim, so that Sosa then unravels, that contradicts the entire week of Shivanakiyim, and he's got to start over again, not all that different from the woman who bleeds in the middle of Shivanakiyim. So just as there's a din of Ziva being Sosa, if he has a little bit of that biological emission called Ziva, that ruins the Shivanakiyim. So too, if he has Shechazera, would you say the same thing? It's almost like a question, but would you say the same thing? The Shechazera should also ruin the Shivanakiyim? So he's in the middle of counting Shivanakiyim for Ziva. And now he experiences becoming a Balkari. Again, Balkari and Ziva, not the same biologically. So he's up on day five, and he had a Re'ias Keri. Would that ruin it as well? So the Gemara says, Amalei, Stirai, the time of the Soser, Lepish, Iyev, Shalah, Balot, Tzuchei, Ziva. The Gemara says that maybe when it comes to if a person has a Re'ias Keri in the middle of Shivanakiyim for being a Zav, maybe the reason why it's Soser is not because the Tumas Keri is Soser. The Tumas Keri is a different tumor. The reason why it's Soser is because biologically it's all coming from the same part of the body. So anytime he has a Shechazera, he has Keri, inevitably there's going to be a little bit of Ziva in there also. There'll be a little bit of Ziva mixed in also. So maybe that's the reason why it's Soser. Well, again, the basic starting point is a man's in the middle of counting Shivanakiyim for Ziva. If he has a Ziva in the middle of Shivanakiyim, it ruins the count. And the Gemara is now suggesting that even though what he's experiencing now is not Ziva, maybe we have to be concerned there's a little bit of Ziva mixed in. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so Alama Tanya, why is the following halacha true? Zos Torah Sazav, Ma Ziva Soseres, Av Shech Lezeres Soser. So the Gemara says, obviously, that reason that you just said, that every time you have Keri, there's probably Ziva in there, that's not true. Because the Braisa says explicitly that Shechazera in the middle of Shivanakiyim doesn't knock off the entire week of Shivanakiyim, it only cancels that day itself. So very, very much it did. So a guy counting Shivanakiyim, he counts day one, day two, day three, day four, all of a sudden day five in the morning he has a Re'ias Keri. So we say to him, okay, day five is a blind. It doesn't count, but it doesn't ruin the last four. And when the next day comes, when quote unquote day six comes, just count that as day five. Just the day that you saw Re'ias Keri on is cancelled, but you pick up where you left off. So the Gemara says, obviously that's not based on Tzuchai Ziva. If you really believe that there's Ziva inside the Keri, that should knock off the entire week. So what is this din based on? So where does this halacha come from? So the answer is that the Braisa says, it's Gzeres HaKosov, that on the one hand the Torah says that Ziva is Soser, so to carry is Soser, but the Torah says, L'tom HaBoh, Boz HaLosh and Yochid, says only one day it's Soser. So here is the source for a new din there, I've never heard such a thing. It's carry is Soser one day.
What is Soser?
So it means to contradict. It's
okay,
not
yeah, it's Stira.
So Tumas Keri, Tumas Shepazera is not Sosa the entire week, but it's Sosa that day. So whatever day you were up to yesterday, you continue tomorrow, and you just ignore this day. But that's a Dimin HaTorah derived from a whole series of Pesukim here, the Tama Bosh, Hekesh, whole Chagadja. That's the Lish Tein Tosh of Ope, that Re'ias Keri is Sosa one day. So you may be wondering, what does that have to do with us? Why all of a sudden are we learning Maseches Avim? We thought we were learning Maseches Nida. Why is this relevant for us? So now we get to the second of the Maamar Kamos on the page. So boy, Rabbi Chama had the following shaila. Poletes shichvazera mao shetistor beziva. The Gemara just took everything we just learned about a man and now plugged it all to a woman. So you have a similar model in halacha. You have a man who became a zav and he's Catholic shivanikiyim. You have a woman who became a zava and she's also Catholic shivanikiyim. So unlike a man with a ziva is something which is biologically different, a zava is the exact same thing coming out of a bat. It's the same blood. Just that the Torah says that at certain times in a cycle, we call the Yud Aleph Yom, the 11 days of Halacha Moshe Mesinai of Ilchas Nida. So if a woman sees blood during those X amount of days in her cycle, she could potentially become a Zava, and she's going to be required to count Shiva Nikiyim. So Rabbi Chama said, now I have this woman who's in the middle of counting Shiva Nikiyim. She's up to day 5, and all of a sudden, she's Paleta Shechvazera. Obviously, she can't literally have Shechvazera, but the only way Shechvazera could come out of her body is if she had relations with somebody, and now that Zera is coming out of her body. So a woman having a Paleta Shechvazera is almost the same as a man becoming a Valkyrie. So should we say, just as when a man becomes a Valkyrie in the middle of Shehish Shiva Nikiyim, it knocks off a day, so to a woman, when she becomes a quote-unquote Valkyrie, and being Paleta Shechvazera, it should knock off a day in the middle of her count as well. So I know Stephen's going to ask me, why in the world is she Paleta Shechvazera? She's been a surah for the last 5 days. You can ask me that? No.
Of course.
Okay. Let me answer that question first. The answer to that question is, we'll see. Now you can ask.
Is that true that a woman who's Paleta Shechvazera is tummy for a day?
Yeah. She is Tumea. Yeah, she is considered to be Tumea. And it's almost the same as Tumas Kerim.
When you say knock off a day, she has to count an additional day.
Right, that's right. She needs another day. So Rabbi Chama posed the following: Salom de Shoshana. Paleta Shechvazera mashfis to beziva. So what's the lomdus of the shaila? What are the two sides of the shaila? So Rabbi Chama explains this what the shaila is. It's a very lomdus of shaila. Roa ha'isav esoseres al dumunogas ha'isav lo sosra. Everybody agrees there's a tumas paleta shechvazera. In fact, one of the sources for tumas paleta shechvazera is Matan Torah. That's exactly why they had to wait 3 days. Well, we're going to get to 3 days in a second. That one of the reason why there had to be a little bit of a delay in terms of Matan Torah was to enable all the women to make sure that they would be Tahoros. That's why Tikshu Alisha, that's why you had to wait for a couple of days for them to become, stop being Paleta Shechvazera. We'll talk about the details of that as we go on. And so when you have a woman who's Paleta Shechvazera, there's no question she's Tumea for a day. The question is, what's the nature of that tumor? So all of tumas are broken down into two categories. We spoke about this a little bit in the past. They're what we call tumas re'iya, those we call tumas negeya. Tumas re'iya means tumas that come from seeing, literally things that come out of your body. So let's say when a woman becomes a nida, that's a tumas re'iya, because she's seeing the blood. We're not literally seeing, but the blood's coming out of her body, that's called a tumas re'iya. Or let's say a woman gives birth, that's called a tumas re'iya, because it's something that's emanating from her body. First becomes a mitzora, so he becomes tamei, that's a tumas re'iya, it's emanating from his body. If I touch a dead body, if I touch a dead mouse, if I touch a dead animal, that's a tumas maga. That's not from my body, that's something which is external. And there are many, many differences in halacha between the tumas re'iyas and the tumas negiyas. So over here, paleta shechvazera is a very, very funny type of a tumah. Because on the one hand, it's coming from her body. On the other hand, it's not really coming from her body. It's coming out of her body that came from somebody else's body. So it's not the same as tumas nida. Tumas nida, the blood is biologically, naturally coming from her. Here, the paleta shechvazera, it's coming true out of her body, but it's coming out of her body that came into her body from somebody else. So, what is that? Is that closer to tumas re'iya, or is that closer to tumas negiya? My nafkamina, at the end of the day, she's tamei, who cares conceptually what it is? So, Rabbi Bachama says, no, there's a very, very big difference. Because this dinner being soiser, the concept that I'm in the middle of Shiva Nikiyim, and something comes that causes me to have to redo the count. Either to have to redo the count entirely, or to redo the count partially by canceling off that day. That concept of something being soiser in Shiva Nikiyim only makes sense when it's something that's coming from me. It's a person in the middle of Shiva Nikiyim, they're up to day 5 of Shiva Nikiyim, and they touch a dead mouse. Would anybody in the right mind say that, oh, they were just soiser? It's a leitzavus. Stira only makes sense when something's going wrong internally. Something's going wrong externally, the whole parsha of stira doesn't make any sense. So Rabbi Chama is sitting around now and analyzing, trying to figure out what is tumas paleta shechvazera. It's a very strange tumah. It has aspects of re'iya to it, because it's emanating from her, but it has aspects of maga, because it's ultimately emanating from an external source. So that was Rabbi Chomashani. He wasn't sure what the din was. Is it Soisir or is it not Soisir? So he leaves it light by himself. He's not sure. So even though Rabbi Chomashani never resolved his doubt, there are other Gemaras that sound the Chumra. There are other Gemaras that do seem to equate Tumas Paletesh Pazera with a Tumas Re'iyah, which would lead us to believe that in fact it is Soisir, albeit one day. Not a whole week, but it is also one day.
By Tumas Nagir, it would sure have to start again.
But by Tumas Mamish, we'd never have to start again, because that's the whole parish of Stira, Zoning Dam is Soisir, Valkyrie is Soisir, things that emanate from inside is Soisir. Things that emanate from the outside are not sure have to be Soisir. By touching dead mouth, they can't be Soisir.
So what if,
meaning,
what would happen?
What, if a woman's in the middle of Kalei Shiva Nikiyam, and then
she touches the dead body.
So she could still go to the mikvah at the end of the 7 days. Like, we do, all our lives do that.
Yeah. No, I'm saying, so here it's only a question of whether it's Soser or nothing. Not that there's no case that you would have to start the count again.
Well, it wouldn't be Soser more than one day. It's not going to be worse than about Kalei Mamash. Right. It's not, when I say Soser, I mean Soser Yom Echad.
No, I'm saying there's no case here that there would be, either, yeah.
So if a woman sees Dab in the middle of Shiva Nikiyam, that knocks off the whole week. If she touched the dead mouse, that is irrelevant. If she's Palet the Shiva Zera, so maybe it knocks off a day, and maybe it doesn't. Right? That's the Sefer Gemara B'Chama. And the Rishonim say that based on other sugyas of the Sefer Nida, we're Machmer and Ishaila. We consider this to be a Shaila with Deraisa, real potential din Deraisa, that a Palet the Shiva Zera could throw off the count of Shiva Nikiyam, at least throw off one day. Why is any of this relevant? This is very, very relevant. This whole background of all Tum Vatara becomes now the source of the following issue that we have. Since all our women are treated like Zavos, that was the Chumrul of Yisrael, that's the din that Chazal Masakein, that anytime a woman becomes a Nid of Islam, she's automatically a Zavah, because it's always hard to keep track whether she's in the 7 days, 11 days, so across the board with the Rabbanim, every woman is required to get a Shiva Nikiyam, which is exactly what our women do, and our wives do before they go to the mikvah. So the Shiva Nikiyam have to be counted properly. So one thing that cannot take place in the middle of Shiva Nikiyam is she cannot be a Palet Shiva Zera. If she was Palet Shiva Zera in the middle of Shiva Nikiyam, that's going to be a disaster, because then she's going to be off count, she's going to be missing a day, she's going to be too early. So we have to be absolutely certain that when a woman is counting Shiva Nikiyam, we have no concerns with Palet Shiva Zera. So you're probably wondering, Palet Shiva Zera, how is she going to be with her husband? If she already is a Nida, so she shouldn't have been with her husband anymore. So the answer is, well, maybe she's still Palet Shiva Zera from before she became a Nida. So let's say a couple was together on a Sunday, and then she becomes a Nida on a Monday, and all of a sudden she's done. She finishes up bleeding in a day or so. She's really, really quick, very, very short period, and she's ready to roll, ready to start to count Shiva Nikiyam. So we turn around and say, wait a second. If you start counting Shiva Nikiyam right away, what may happen is you may still be Palet Shiva Zera from 2 days ago. And if you're Palet Shiva Zera from 2 days ago, any day that you may be Paletus on is not going to count towards the Shiva Nikiyam. So how is she ever going to know? She's going to be paying attention. She can Paletus in the middle of the night. She's not going to know. She's going to be in the bathroom. It's opening yourself up for all kind of concerns. So therefore, the Rishonim said the following incident. They just made the following observation. Taisus, all the Rishonim make the following observation. That a woman cannot even begin to count Shiva Nikiyam until all concerns of Paletus are done, are history. We have to be 100% sure that there is no Shiva Zera coming out of her body before we will let her even begin to count the first day of Shiva Nikiyam. Because if she's still Paletus physically and counting Shiva Nikiyam, that's a recipe for potential succaris.
Why is this fake faker?
What's the fake faker?
Meaning that we add days. The institution of the days of the Yom Shiva Nikiyam is the Rabbanim, and the fact that she's going to Palet the Sefer Zera after a certain amount of days. So it's not really a
suffix. The fact that we observe Shiva Nikiyam there is not a suffix. There's a Chazal Misakin that because there was this concern, so now we treat all women like Zavah. So it's not really, it's like a suffix Zavah Mismanazah. It's the, we know but there is Vada, women with Rabban are all Zavah Mismanazah.
Why are we more mocking the Palet Shiva Zera to say, maybe in the middle of the night, we don't do the same thing with Dam. With Dam, we have to see it after the Amara, there has to be a Kasanak.
It's much easier to see Dam.
It's hard to discern.
Palet Shiva Zera is not, not so easy to tell. So not like Dam is going to show up on another
day.
It's a low plug growth concern.
So how many days do they
eat? Oh, the question is, but how long do you have to wait? She had to ask for 6 weeks ago, so you have to be concerned with Palet Shiva. At what point do you say that Palet Shiva Zera is not a concern? So that's going to become a whole new part of the sugya that's based on Matan Torah, that's based on the Masechta Shabbos sugyas. Well, how long was Palet Shiva Zera a concern? So the Tanoim already told us that Palet Shiva Zera is only a concern post man that the Zera is still viable. but the zera can still potentially cause her to become pregnant. Not this particular woman does not become pregnant; she's having a period. But with the kolzman that the zera is still potentially medically viable, could potentially cause her to become pregnant. That zera is subject to tumah. Once the zera is so old already that it wouldn't be able to impregnate her anyway, so that zera doesn't exist up the halacha. So even if she's physically being quote unquote paletashik or zera, halachically that kind of zera wouldn't invalidate the count. So at what point do you say that happens? How many days? How many hours? How long do you have to wait? That's a big machlokes that tanoim. We're going to talk about that in arichos. Just how long that period of time is. In case anyone is wondering, machlokes that tanoim, just figure it out. Just go to the lab and figure it out. So believe it or not, as of the last study that I read, still out of the New England Journal of Medicine, they still don't know the answer to that question. There are still chilukei days, ad hayom zeh, the experts, just how long zera really truly remains viable. It's a very important piece of information for infertility issues, but it's not a clear-cut answer yet. As of last time I checked, so it still wasn't clear. So the Hilgat Tanoim also weren't sure exactly how long it lasts. So whatever it is, whatever the number is, we're going to have to make sure a woman doesn't start Shemnikiyam until that magic number, whatever that magic number is, until that magic number has already passed. But that this entire institution of Luchas Nida, this whole concern of waiting X amount of days, whether it's 4 days, 5 days, whatever the number, magic number is, to making sure that Paletas issues are over, all has its roots in this Gemara, which is not even a din about Zav, it's really a din about Azav, which was carried over to Azav based on the suffix of Rav Bechama. But the question is whether this din really truly exists. You know, I've been presenting one side of the equation. I've been presenting, yeah, there's a din of Paletas, and now we have to figure out how many days it is. We've got to go check the Rishonim, check the Sugyas, and the Tanakh. Now we'll go into all the details. Maybe we should take a step back and see, wait a second, maybe the whole thing doesn't exist. So comes the Rosh, the third of the Maimonides, and quotes a fascinating comment from the Raavad. So page 28, Maimonides number 3, the Rosh and the Sechaz Nida writes, the Raavad's Al-Kosah Shubah. Shalo omru paleta shechvazera shesoseres, ela letaros bilvad, avalabaila inesoseres. Comes the Raavad and says, this whole sugya of paletes is a nafkamina, very important nafkamina, bizman shebeis mikdash ha'kayim, when you want to figure out whether the woman is tahora or not. Bizman hazeh, nobody cares whether the woman is tahora. All we care about is the woman muteres. The Raavad just threw a mamash curveball on it and said,
"But it makes a lot of sense because if a man, it doesn't have to."
Oh, that's the Raavad saying. The Raavad saying that hilchos paletas. Who cares if who's paletas? Who's man is it? Let's say she's not a zara. Let's say a woman in the middle of nowhere is paletas shekhla zara. So she goes to the mikvah. Not for us. She doesn't go to the mikvah for her husband. She's muteris. Paletas shekhla zara is muteris to bai law, but she couldn't come to the base because she couldn't eat truma, couldn't eat meshchei, couldn't eat karbonas. So that's very nice, says the Raavad, but the whole parsha of Paletas Shekhla Zera is meaningless for us, Bizman Hazeh. So too, says the Raavad, that the din of Soseres, Ayadei Paletas Shekhla Zera, is meaningless as well. So now, it's very hard, even if you're a Raavad, to make such a statement without any raya, it's hard to say. So it brings the following raya. O Rebbe Raya, Mide Tani, Rebbe Shimon Oimer, V'yachat Titar, Acha Maisa Titar, Aval Omru Chachom, Osa Lasus Kench L'Tov L'Dei Sofei. So there's a braisa that we'll hopefully talk about this much later on. We talk about Chos Tevila, but with the braisa it says at the end of the Sechaz Nidus, when a woman is counting Shiva Nikiyim, so on the seventh day of Shiva Nikiyim, she can technically go to the mikvah already. With the braisa for sure, she can go to the mikvah in the morning of Shiva Nikiyim. The achadita, once she checks herself in the morning, and then she finds that she's not bleeding anymore, she can go to the mikvah. According to some, that's a corollary of Mitzvah Seyom Kekulo. It's almost linked to the same halacha we have in Ochos Avelos and other areas of halacha, the Zeros, of Mitzvah Seyom Kekulo. And others say it's a little bit different. And again, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. So, Minat Torah, she can go to the mikvah on the morning of the seventh day. There may be even very, very unique circumstances where we may even permit that with the Rabbanon. That's already hopefully another whole other sugya. What we will
do. 7 clean days after the Friday.
Yeah. Seventh clean day in the morning, she can go to the mikvah. One thing we would never ever dream of permitting is going the night before. That's an isakoris. Somebody called me recently and said that they were told by somebody that under extenuating circumstances they can go to the mikvah on the night of the seventh day. So I said, I don't know what you heard or didn't hear, but you can say tell him that I said, but that's an Issacharis, that if the woman was a Zava, she had to assume she was really a Zava, assuming that's true, to go to the mikvah on the night of the seventh is no good min haTorah. That's not even up for this. There's one.
What was that person thinking?
Got the details of who the person was. So we'll leave it out. Anyway, I'm hoping and praying there was a miscommunication there, but whatever it was. Anyway, so but Rabbi Shimon does say that the acha tita acha maisa titar, that after she does a bedika in the morning of the seventh day, then we can discuss. At least with the Torah, she can go to the mikvah. But the chachamim said you're not allowed to do that. But the rabbanim you're not allowed to do that. Why? Shelo tavla de safek nida zava. Because what's going to happen? She'll go to the mikvah on the seventh day in the morning, and she technically is okay. But pending that she makes the rest of the day without Riyas Dam, because she's still technically in Shiva Nikiyam. So you can have a very bummer situation. She went to the mikvah at 8 o'clock in the morning, and now 4 o'clock in the afternoon, she starts to bleed again. So we don't say she becomes a sewer from here on in. We say, you're still in quote-unquote Shiva Nikiyam, you're still in the seventh day. Any blood that you see unravels and is so serous, the entire week, and you have to start all over again. And in Gloria Mills, it turns out your wedding going to the mikvah was meaningless. Okay, big deal. So she went to the mikvah meaningless. She was with her husband sometime between 8 o'clock in the morning and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So if she was with her husband in the interim, and now she sits down at 4 o'clock, it turns out retroactively she never went to the mikvah altogether, because the whole Shiva Nikiyam was uprooted retroactively, and small technicality, they were both chayav karis. So therefore, Chazal said, it's a very bad idea, not just a bad idea, it's osur. You're not allowed to go to the mikvah during the daytime. Gezeira, you may come to see blood, and you'll end up Shemitir v'tistar. That's what the Gemara says in the Feirush. This is very relevant for us. We'll talk about this later on. We'll get to Chos Tevila. We'll get to all the detailed applications of this. So comes the Rabbi and says at the end of the second line, Alma ilav chashasha the shematira dam nechatashmish mishemeshes ve'leches. So says the Rabbi, wait a second. The only thing we're worried about is that she's going to see blood in the interim. Forget about seeing blood in the interim. Shematifla shechvazera. Maybe. What do we mean? Of course she's going to be pulet shechvazera. If you let her be with her husband after 8 o'clock, she's going to be pulet shechvazera at 9 o'clock. So that's going to be source of the day. So it'll turn out that she didn't have Shiva. Again, so what's the Gemara drawing us a cup and saying, oh, yeah, you know, there's an once in a blue moon, she's going to see blood in the afternoon, and that's going to be a disaster. No, says the Rabbi, because that once in a blue moon, every time, she's going to be full of the Shekhar Zera. So what's the answer? So the answer must be that the Shekhar Zera doesn't apply vis-a-vis the husband. It only affects Zuchas to Uvatara. That was the Rabbi's Raya. Hopefully, next week we have to see that all the other Rishonim thought that was not correct, and there were other ways of answering, of deflecting the Rai of the Ravid. And the Rishonim had big, big issues. The Rush has a very serious issue with this Ravid, because the Ravid, what he just did for us, is he created a model of a woman who is Tmeya but Muteris. I mean, she's Tmeya as a Zava, she hasn't counted Shiva Nikiyam completely, but yet she's Muteris Lefayla. So the Rush said that model of Tmeya as a Zava and Muteris Lefayla is a non-entity in Halacha. So next week we'll pick up with this Rav in the Rush and see how the Maisis begins to play out. So everything we're going to be discussing about the quote-unquote waiting of the 4 days, the 5 days, the pre-Shiva Nikiyam days, all have their roots in this discussion. We'll do a little bit more work before we get to Halacha Maisis.